Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, I'm Lindsley Register, and I play Lara on The Walking Dead. You're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And tonight, we will be covering Season 10, Episode 18, titled Find Me. And again, unfortunately, Kyle is not with us tonight. Hopefully, he will be with us again next week. And Ruthie is, that was kind of a one-shot deal. So I don't know. She may come back at some point. But so let's talk about Find Me. We didn't have any extra feedback for last week, so let's get right into this one. It is written by Nicole Morante Matthews, and she is a co-executive producer. And she also wrote... This is her third episode that she's written for The Walking Dead. She's been just on staff since season 10. She wrote the second episode, which was kind of the origin story for Alpha and Beta. That was We Are the End of the World, and that was, of course, also the first appearance of Gamma. And season 10, episode 12, Walk With Us, and that was... when Alpha, Gamma, and Earl died in that episode. And her past, she has credits from Any Day Now, Huff, The Nine, Kane, Law and Order Criminal Intent, NCIS, and Luke Cage. And this episode is directed by, I was wrong in last week. By the way, sorry it took us so long to get out last week's episode. It actually didn't make it in time for this week. Didn't get it out until Monday. That was basically because we had kind of a horrific recording that night. So that tied with I was really busy at work this week. So unfortunately, it... took too long to get done. But so anyway, I said last week that this episode was probably going to be directed by Laura Belsey. Well, I was wrong. It's David Boyd. So apparently he directed episodes 17, 18, and 21. So anyway, the next two will be Laura Belsey. So anyway, this is his 13th episode of The Walking Dead. He also is said to direct the, as I mentioned, episode 21, which is titled Diverged, according to IMDb anyway. He was a former director of photography on Walking Dead, and you can find his credits for that in seasons 1 and 2. So he's been involved with the show right from the beginning. In fact, I think his first credit for director of photography goes way back to Guts, the second episode. So I noticed his very first credit for director of photography, I thought this was interesting, was for something I've never heard of before. But it was a zombie comedy called The Laughing Dead. Came out in 1990. And
I think I missed that one.
Yeah. But his other credits, Firefly, Deadwood, NYPD Blue as director of photography. But he's got director credits from the Bionic Woman remake. I think it came out in 2007. Friday Night Lights. And I thought of you, LT, when I saw Men of a Certain Age. Scott Bakula, I mean. I know you're an Enterprise fan. Longmire, The Mitts, Queen of the South, Away, among others. So there's actually more than that. So the description, according to AMC, is Daryl and Carol find an old cabin that takes Daryl back to his years away from the group after Rick disappeared. He relives the painful memory of meeting a reticent survivor and the toxic events that amplified his relationship with Dog. So what did you think of this episode, LT?
Well, if I can find the mute button. I gave it a 7.9 out of 10. Well, that explains a lot. I just couldn't quite nudge it higher. There were some things that just kind of bugged me. I mean, it's not a bad episode. It just, well, I'll get into it later, but you know how I feel about time jumps and...
Yeah. Well, I rate the episode slightly higher, but not very much higher. I gave it an 8. So I rate it 8. Daryl's got a girlfriend. Daryl's got a girlfriend. Yeah. So, yeah. Now I don't know what, some people are going to think about that. I know, you know, there's a lot of ladies that may be upset out there right now. And then there may be others that I know have liked him being considered asexual. I've always thought that he was, or even some that thought he was gay. I don't know how you could think he was gay.
Or just the strong loner type that,
yeah,
just hasn't had time for a girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't put a label on him. I'm surprised
you didn't get into the, what, Daryl and Gene sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
I nearly did. But I thought this was better.
Well, so, it's true. The other thing is, well, I know we'll get into it later when we get to the ratings, but maybe nobody's upset because nobody watched it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ratings,
which
for this,
is sad. Mm,
yeah. We'll get into that when it's time for ratings, but ratings, just a little sneak peek, we're not very good on this episode.
We have listener ratings or listener rating,
but only one. So that's kind of what we were talking about when, we talk about, the fact that it seems like a lot of people didn't see it. And I'm not sure why, actually.
I was trying to figure out if there's anything, I don't know if there's anything against it. There was, you know, usually it's like if it was the Grammys or the Oscars or, you know, they already had the Golden Globes. So, I mean, I don't know what else there was running that night that somebody else would have watched.
The only thing that I know of was the NBA All-Star Game. But, and that one did get bigger ratings, but I wouldn't think that would draw that many people away from The Walking Dead. Anyway.
Yeah, one would think.
So we did get one listener rating, and that's from Glynis from Toronto, who gives it a 6 out of 10. A river runs through it. So let's move on to Awesome Sauce. All right. Well, we got one awesome sauce. This is going to be a little pattern here. So, LT, why don't you read that one?
Okay. Well,
and then again, segue right into your own.
Okay. Well, this is from Glynis from Toronto. And she says, Dog's connection through all those 6 years or so with Daryl.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dog liked him right away.
Yes, he did. So for my awesome sauce, one of them is related to the aforementioned canine because we got to see Puppy Dog.
Yes, indeed. Puppy Dog.
Which I thought Puppy Dog was really cute.
I did too.
And of course, for my other awesome sauce, we have the obligatory Daryl Dixon, you sly dog. Because again, we've gone through the Daryl's in the woods, Mr. Tracker, Mr. Loner, and you know, Daryl has a soft spot. They had some shared experiences, you know, some shared losses. And it wasn't like it was their eyes met and the, you know, the orchestral music swells in the background.
Yeah.
This was they took a while to take a shine to one another. And I kind of liked how they did it in a way.
Throwing a fish.
Yeah. But the part that I wonder about was, again, the cliffhanger that we got. So where did she go?
Right. Exactly.
And that's really about all the awesome sauce that I have.
Well, I think her name was Lynn Collins, who played. I thought she did a decent job playing Leah. And I think there's going to be some people that will put a target on her. I don't know, but I think she did a decent job in the role. I thought that the parallels between Leah and Carol were pretty evident. Like, for example, they both, you know, spear fish, you know, in a similar way and successfully, mind you. I kind of like, you know, Carol going to visit him periodically, and that's kind of how we you know, mark the passage of time. One thing that I think a lot of people may not have noticed, but there was one time when I think Leah said, you know, said something about, you know, the nasty cut that he had on his face. Wasn't that the cut that he got from those kids?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it is too. So I thought that was a very subtle reference to a part of, you know, the past of that character. And, you know, he asks about Michonne, and, you know, Carol and Daryl are talking about Michonne. Of course, that kind of went around Michonne. So that was like after those events happened. So anyway, I thought that was all really, really good, really interesting and subtle. I mean, there were some things that I liked about the episode, but there were some things I didn't particularly like about the episode. I think that, I also liked the fact that, it explains kind of that whole thing with Connie. Like, maybe could he be like not wanting to do anything with Connie because he's still thinking Leah might be around? And for that matter, what happened to Leah? Could she have gotten A or B'd or something, you know, or maybe these Reapers took her or something?
She could have gotten Reapered. She could have gotten Whispered.
She could have gotten Whispered. She could have gotten Reapered. She could have gotten CRM'd. She could have gotten...
There's a plethora of things that could have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
She could have stepped in an abandoned mine.
There you go.
So the thing that I thought they did well that sort of helped me keep track of time was, you know, how's Carol's hair and what's she carrying?
Yeah.
Because I did notice the past tense version, she was carrying that old shoulder bag and she had her hair, you know, her hair done differently.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that too. Aside from that, I can't think of anything else that I wanted to highlight for Awesome Sauce. So let's move on to the week variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. Well, we got a couple of weak sauces from Glynis. She says, Daryl and Carol's fight and split seems kind of pointless, knowing they're going to be together in their own series down the road. Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, it's kind of, I don't know. It's like, you know what's going to happen at the end, so why do you need to see this? Because, you know, it's good. They're going to end up being back together later, so.
Yeah, it would be more of a surprise if we didn't know that it was going to be the Carol and Daryl show later.
Right, exactly. And then she says, Daryl can't seem to catch a break and have a little happiness. That I belong to you, find me note should have been in a more obvious place and not under the floorboards where she did say she seldom looked with the pic of her son from her sister in there for treasured safekeeping, more like out of sight, out of mind. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Well, if it was her Heidi cash, you know, at least then it wouldn't be someone who wandered into the cabin could grab the note. Or it was the obvious plot device for discovery later. It all depends on how you look at it.
All right. Well, that's it for our listener weak sauce. LT, I believe you have some weak sauce.
Yes, I do. I suppose my first thing was, this is the obligatory, this is why we can't have nice things plot device. You know, every time we get a nice place to live, something happens.
Yep.
Every time we get a car, it bricks.
Yeah.
It's just that seems to be the way of the show, that if you have a moment of happiness, it is going to be snatched away from you and in a painful and difficult way. My other thing was just sort of, one would think that if Daryl was Mr. Outdoor Survival, if he's lived on his own, if he's traipsed around the woods for all this time, there were a lot of things that happened that kind of made me wonder if it was just, we've got to do this for plot purposes. You know, getting your map wet because it's paper so that it'll get all water damaged. You know, not making a big enough fire so you get cold fingers, building your shelter very low to the water line so that when the rains come and the water rises that you get wet. I was just kind of going, come on, Daryl, you're better than that.
You know,
put it in a baggie. Put on your gloves, build a bigger fire.
The thing, I had that in my weak sauce as well. You know, he just had a conversation with Carol. He says to Carol, you know, there's a storm coming. And she says, be careful. And he says, I will. So put the map away. You know, there's a storm coming. Put the map away.
Exactly. Yep. Go scavenge a big Ziploc bag. They work great for maps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It kills me how, you know, certain things, they just don't seem to, they don't seem to learn, you know, or like, I don't think that there's going to be a scarcity of Ziploc bags. Like, yes, you know, a lot of them will have been consumed, but I tend to think that there'd still be a supply somewhere. You know, you'd be able to find them somewhere. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, but one would think.
You would think.
Even if it's not a Ziploc, just some kind of bag, some kind of waterproof covering.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you got?
Yes, sir. That is it.
Here's the thing that got me. He says, well, there's one spot I didn't look at yet. It's like, one spot you haven't looked at yet? Like, what are you, like, going over the ground?
You've, Like, you've been out there for 5 years, man.
One spot he hasn't looked yet. It's like, what is he going over, like 1 inch at a time or something? Like, what are you doing? That's what killed me, is I could see if he had been out there for a month or something like that, but he's been out there for years. A lot of time has passed.
A long time.
If Rick had been out there, he could have like turned into, like, there'd be nothing left of him but bones, you know, pretty much, if he had like died and his corpse hadn't, like, you know, reanimated, there would have been like nothing left. He would have only been able to like identify him from his clothes, you know? So like, what? Just anyway.
And if he just survived and he'd been camping by the river, one would think that there's a finite amount of space that you have to cover, and he's been doing it for years.
Yeah. And it's like, how much area is he covering? Like, is he covering, you know, 300 square miles, or is he covering 20 square miles, or is he covering 2 square miles? You know what I mean? It's you can't really make a judgment from that, but still, it's like he's been out there for years. And I think that, you know, originally he probably wasn't the only one looking, right? So I would think that pretty much everything's been covered at this point. I'm not talking about the fact that he shouldn't keep looking. It just kills me when he says, there's a place I didn't look yet. You know, it's like, I could see him saying, there's a place that I only looked at once. I want to go look at it again, right? That I get, right? Because there's sometimes you can overlook things and, you know, you want to look at it at a different angle and suddenly you see something you didn't see before. That I get, but not seeing it at all, it just got me. It's like, what? So, the other thing, this is against Leah. It's like, you know, she kept on saying, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to go back to, you know, your people, that I understand. You're going to go out, you know, looking for your brother, that I understand. But as far as that's concerned, either way, like, why wouldn't she go with him? You know, like, if he's going to keep searching, go search with him, you know? Like, I don't understand why it has to be this or this or this. Like, why can't they just decide to be together? Why does it have to be this, you stay in this cabin with me or else? That seemed kind of silly to me. So anyway, the last thing I want to bring up, and this happened to me just prior to us starting tonight. Oh, look at that. Speaking of it. So I got on here. It's been frozen in time. The AMC app sucks. It still sucks. And I'm going to tell you how it sucks. Okay. So I had to go run a couple of errands, an hour and a half, prior to us starting. And I was still trying to do a rewatch, and I got through about 2/3 of the rewatch, and I thought, okay, I'm going to save the save the episode on my phone. I have an AMC Premiere. I can do that. And I'm going to watch it while I'm, you know, on my errands, because these errands didn't involve me driving. Okay. I was like walking around as I was driving or going. I had to pick up a package at where I live, and I had to walk the dog, get the mail, you know, it's all walking stuff. So I was going to watch the rest of the episode as I'm walking around, and I couldn't do it. It gave me a network error. So in other words, it wouldn't let me watch the show unless I was home. The moment I got home, it started working again. But as long as I wasn't home, it wouldn't let me watch the show.
Well, see, that's like the app for my cable company where you can watch shows. It'll only let you watch certain things if you're not on the
Spectrum
network. Yes, it's Spectrum.
Yep. Same here. Yep.
They're pretty territorial about, no, you can't look at that when you're away from home.
And it is probably Spectrum's fault. So, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, maybe I will give it, maybe it's not AMC's fault. Maybe it's Spectrum's fault. But I mean, gee whiz, it's like, I pay for the service. Why can't I use the service? At some point later this month, my AMC Premier subscription ends. I'm going to switch to AMC Plus, which is a little bit more actually, but still I'm going to pay for it because you get more for it. Hopefully I won't have those limitations, but I just, man, just really sucky. So.
Yeah. That's one of the things that, I mean, I like having the app. I'm glad CBS doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But I've found that if you try to look at things like the straight AMC channel, you know, you have to tell it which cable provider you use.
And yeah, exactly.
It's strange the way they do it, but I could sort of see why, but it's kind of annoying if I wanted to watch something when I'm, you know, at lunch when I was at the office, then there's some things you just can't watch because it won't let you.
And here's the weird thing. AMC Plus doesn't have its own app. It is dependent upon how you buy it. So, like, for example, it's available on the Roku app, right? Or the Roku channel. Or like, you can buy it directly through your Roku. However, if you want to watch it, you have to, if you're going to not watch it on your TV, you have to watch it through the Roku app. You can't watch it on the AMC app. You have to watch it on the Roku app. Same goes if you buy it through, you know, Apple TV Plus, or you buy it through Amazon. I'm going to end up buying it through Amazon, I think. But it's dependent upon how you buy it. That's how you have to watch it. So it's kind of weird. I just find it weird. Okay. Well, anyway, that's it for our weak sauce. Let's move on to what sauce.
What?
And we didn't get any what sauce. So the only thing we have is you, LT. I didn't really have a what sauce.
That is correct.
Beyond what and I already said.
My what sauce, I've already hinted at it, and I'll go ahead and go on record. I don't like flashback episodes. Now, I will give them credit, is that they did have the, you know,
very blatant,
the flags that said 5 years ago, 3 months later.
Yeah.
You know, they at least gave us that much. So it put some time frame on it, because if they would have just done the normal flashback episode, time jumpy, and we're having to just guess on when it was by what Daryl's wearing.
Yeah.
I would have been less happy than I was. You know, like I said, the one point they got is they did at least let us know the time lapse, but they just kill me when they do flashback episodes. You know, I think Fears were worse than this, but just there's got to be a better way to do it.
I don't mind flashback episodes as long as they are well defined. And I thought in this case they were pretty well defined. Like, you knew when they were in the present, when they were in the past. So, and they clearly defined where they were in the past. Like one show that I really enjoyed, but it had a really bad problem with time jumps, was The Event. And about halfway through the season of The Event, it only ran one season. they stopped doing time jumps that way, because I think a lot of people were finding them confusing. Like, they would, you know, you were present day, and then you were, you know, 44 years ago, and then you were 5 years ago, and then you were present day again, and then you were 44 years ago again, and then you were 8 years ago. You know, it was like you'd jump around like five or six different time periods in one show, one episode. So it was confusing. So, yeah. What else you got?
That's really about it.
I was looking at, I was looking at the next one, which is our aw sauce. And again, we didn't get any aw sauce from anyone else. So, but LT has some aw sauce.
Yes, I do. Just to prove that I'm not without some feelings. I won't say it was a full on brine, but I felt kind of, you know, a little tender there when he left the note in the cache.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could tell that he was like, you know, he's got feelings for her, especially after they did that fade to black scene with the hand holding. You know, he wrote the note and was like, you know, find me, and stuck it in there with the stuff. And I was like, oh. And then, of course, my other one was whenever they have the tender scene with soft focus, you kind of know that if it's The Walking Dead, it's going to be sad.
Yep.
So just that little sequence there towards the end was just, you know, it's kind of sad. I had some feels there.
Yeah. And, you know, the big question we have to have, you know, I kind of was making a little fun of it, but like, where did she go? Like, what happened to her? Like, did she just like storm out? And for that matter, she couldn't have stormed out, because why'd she leave Dog?
Exactly.
You know,
and it didn't look like she took a lot of her stuff with her either. So
no.
That sort of gives you the idea that perhaps it wasn't a voluntary departure, but we don't know.
We don't.
So now we just have another question that we'll have to hopefully get answered later on.
Yep. Another question.
Well, I mean, come on, Brian. We survived the whole Dwight and Sherry thing, and at least they had a little bit of a reunion.
Yeah.
But I just have the feeling that this is not, you know, this may not be a happy one.
Yeah. And for that matter, Dwight and Sherry, spoiler.
I know. I just was saying there for that one glistening moment.
Yeah. But anyway, for that, we have to say that we don't know what happened to her, and we may never know. And I don't know where Daryl's head is when it comes to Leah. Like, is he crying that she's gone? Is he sad that she's gone? Is he grieving? Did he grieve? What happened there? So anyway. Anyway, okay. Well,
and we don't know.
We'll never know. Or maybe we'll never know. All right. So, and speaking of Sherry. And if LT wants to sing it, he can. All right. Well, anyway, it's time for our feedback section. We didn't get a lot of feedback this week, as you see. But we did get a little.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, our first bit of feedback is from Cutter from Tennessee. Hi, Cutter. While I enjoyed getting the backstory on Dog, I think there's some interesting tension with Daryl and Carol by the end of the episode and wonder if we'll ever find out what happened to Leah, question mark. I think the question mark is that her name, Leah? Yes, that's her name. The episode pacing was slow. Hope next week picked it up a little bit. Yeah, it was a little slow, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. And you can probably guess who our last bit of feedback is from, because we've gotten heard her name quite a bit tonight.
Shala?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Glennis from Toronto says, I was going to rate this episode 4 out of 10, but I rewatched it and I slanted up to a more favorable opinion. I like the comparison between Carol and Leah, both different personalities, but they had common ground of both being strong-minded women and could both spearfish better than Daryl. Okay. Daryl and Leah hiding in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
See, I didn't have to. I didn't have to.
She did it for us. Yeah. Carl and Enid did the exact same thing, hiding from the walkers.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah, they did have that very long moment of being nose to nose there. So I wonder if we'll see Leah again. Was she taken by the CRM to become an A or B? As it did look like a struggle had taken place.
Yeah, that's a good thought. I mean, there's several, you know, several options we talked about. She could have been, you know, walkers could have gotten her. Who knows?
And that's the thing. We don't know. She could have, like I said, she could have stepped in a chuck hole and broken her leg and died of exposure. I mean, there's no telling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it for our feedback this week. This is going to be a real short episode, seems like. Do you have any other notes that you wanted to cover?
I think you probably covered everything just looking at that of what I could have possibly complained about.
Yeah. And I mean, something is there that wasn't covered, but a couple things we already talked about, like the parallels between Carol and Leah. I mentioned it, Glynis mentioned it. So I think we covered it already, but, and of course, you know, Daryl first calls dog boy. Did you catch that as a puppy?
Yep.
Yeah. So he called it, you know, what's up, boy, or something. And then, you know, he picks up,
which is a good general name for dogs that you don't know their name.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny that Leah is the one that started calling him dog and not, it wasn't Daryl. Like Daryl might've actually come up with a name if he had been the one that actually had found him. But, and I guess like from the story, I guess, what happened to, dog's mom? Like, was dog's mom also bitten that day that she lost her sister and her
son? I don't think she really said.
Yeah, that's a little confused. Yeah,
she just said dog was a puppy. So
yeah, well
yeah, I don't think
said,
I don't.
She said dog was born the day that her son died. And I can't remember her son's name. Richard.
Boy.
Boy. It wasn't boy. But for that, I've got to say.
Child.
Yeah. This is sister. Yep.
It's definitely.
This is my son's son. Yeah. Anyway. And the other thing I was going to mention is Frostnip. That is a name for frostbite I've never heard of before.
Really?
Yeah. Is that a southern thing?
Well, it's a thing.
Okay.
That I tend to remember it from one of the outdoor first aid classes I had with the scouts years ago and from the military.
Well, I know what frostbite is, but I
right, but never frost, called it. Right. Frost nip is the first stage of it.
Ah.
That's okay. That's like the most or least severe case of frostbite.
I see.
That rather than say it's graded, you know, they say you got frost nip if you just have the first initial bits of it. You know, frost bites when you get the black fingers and auto amputation and that sort of stuff.
Right, right.
And one of the most glorious things about my early days going to college in the mountain is that's one of the first things I ended up getting was, I guess it would be frost nip in my hands. So my hands don't do well in cold weather. It's like I have little midgets smashing my knuckles with hammers if my hands get too cold.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a legit thing. It's just usually frost bite is more serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently there are 4 degrees of frostbite. It says, I'm not going to read them, but, obviously the 4th degree of frostbite is, pretty bad. So,
on a related yet sidebar note, if you ever read the book about, Robert Falcon Scott in the Antarctic, there were a couple of instances where one of the guys pulled his shoes off and pulled off his socks and a couple of toes fell out. So,
oh gosh. Wow.
Yes. Scott of the Antarctic, really good book.
All right. Well, I don't think I have anything else that hasn't been talked about already. So let's move on. We've mentioned it already, but, our news ratings and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
Well, as far as ratings, all I can say is another all-time low. The Walking Dead got a 0.65 in the 18 to 49 with 2.259 million viewers. And that is down from last week's 0.92 and 2.891. million viewers. Now I looked it up to see what was the least viewed episode, and I mentioned it actually on the Facebook group, and it was the one that came in October was the all-time low. Prior to this, it got a 0.87 with 2.727 million viewers. So as you can see, this is significantly lower than the lowest point so far. So it wasn't just like it went down. It went way down.
It went down. That's almost down by half.
Well, almost.
Well, yeah. I mean, just
yeah,
close.
A third, close, almost a third.
And then look at your next set of numbers.
Talking Dead got a 0.18. in the 18 to 49 with 800,000 viewers. And that's down from 0.32 and 1.036 million last week. And when I look at the charts, which I didn't produce at the time of, yeah, I still have to fix up the charts. Like I said, in the last episode, I have to add a week every week this season. Yeah, they're not going to be good, so that's for sure.
And that's just like a whammo. I mean, that's I know you said it was the lowest, but that's like a precipitous drop week to week.
Yeah, in fact, I just fixed it on the. Let's see. Try to. Oh yeah, like I just fixed them up, and if you look at the doc here, it should. Yeah, you see the precipitous drop. It's very precipitous. In fact, that's so precipitous, it doesn't look right. Actually, I don't think it looks like the one for the viewers is wrong. I'll have to look to see what happened with that one.
Well, it's still chart. Okay, but it's still pretty solid drop there.
Yeah.
You know, like just coming from, you know, what's that, about 600,000 viewers less? I mean, that's a big, big dump there. I'm just hoping it was timing that maybe they'll pick it back up next week.
Yeah, I fixed the chart, so it looks more like it's supposed to, but it's still, as you can see, it tailed off quite a bit. Like, it's just lower. It's not good at all. Especially that ratings one. And the funny thing was that I mentioned this to LT, because both of us are men of a certain age, since I mentioned that earlier.
Indeed.
We are both, I think I can say this for both of us. Both of us started watching The Walking Dead in our 40s. So we were in the coveted 18 to 49 demographic. And during The Walking Dead, we crossed over to the 25 to 54 range of ratings. So basically we're in the 50 plus. And if you go back, and I did this today, just for the heck of it, I was just looking. Like, let's take it from way back when The Walking Dead's ratings were still high. So what I was able to find was the infamous Glenn and Abraham dying at the hands of Negan, you know, and Lucille. And I looked at that one, and, you know, it was like 8.36 in the 18 to 49, and it was like 3-something for 50 and over. And now you look at it, and it's still, I think it's, for last week anyway, it was still above 1. And if I look at it here, it's, I didn't write it down, but just looking at it really quickly. Yeah, it's still, it got a 1.16 in the 50 and over, and a 0.93 in the 25 to 54 range. So it's doing better the older you get. And
and you may have a point there, that the fans that were what, early 40s, mid 40s when the series started, that have stuck with it, have now aged into the next demographic level.
Yeah. And it's also worth saying that kids that were, you know, in their, you know, sub teens at the time that the show started are now, you know, in the 18 to 49, and maybe because they couldn't watch it when they were kids, don't watch it now. So that might also kind of explain ratings, because it's kind of like, it's almost like crossing a generation, you know?
Right. Well, I know that my daughter watched it with me when she was home, and, you know, now that she's off at school, I don't know what she's doing. So,
like, most of the people that I know that watch this show are, and I can't say that this is true for everyone that I know, but most of the ones that I know are in their late 30s and above. And I do know some that are in their 20s, but they're in their late 20s, you know? So they were old enough to watch it at the beginning, is what I'm saying. So anyway, it was just something I've noticed, that it may explain some of the drop. And, you know, just in general, it's not happening just to The Walking Dead. It's happening to TV across the board. There's so many choices these days, so many places you can watch things. You can stream, you can DVR, you can, you know, so not as many people are watching live.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
Because you and I had talked about it before, since we are in that demographic now, that it used to be, if you didn't see it when it came on, you didn't see it.
Yep.
And now, you know, it's a totally on-demand, at-will kind of world. So that's why they have to come up with some other metric to measure who's watching what, because they're not going to be watching it live.
Yeah. Yep. So, but to give you an idea of where The Walking Dead kind of sits in popularity is Parrot Analytics. And unfortunately, Parrot hasn't produced its weekly chart this week yet. Usually they have it out by Monday or Tuesday, but this week, for whatever reason, I'm not sure, they don't yet. But they do have some stuff on their website that kind of indicates by market what's popular. And if you look at the United States page, and I'll just pull that up really quickly here to look at it. The top local TV shows in demand, number one is, at least how they have it listed, number one is SpongeBob at 92.9 times the average demand of a show. Saturday Night Live in second with 75.6 times. WandaVision, which is the first streaming title, at 63.2. The Mandalorian at 58.1. And Cobra Kai at 54.2. Now, The Walking Dead, not there. But in a separate chart, if you look at them directly, it has them with a running total. And I, as far as I know, that's how they record this. Of 53.0 times. So it's likely that it's in either sixth or seventh place if once they produce the chart. So, you know, it's still up there, certainly in terms of, you know, popularity on, you know, the web. It is still very popular. So, you know, that's all you can say.
I'm still baffled that SpongeBob's still in the 90s.
I don't understand that. Like, who's
watching SpongeBob?
Who's watching SpongeBob? Who is, like, tweeting and talking on Facebook and, you know, like, who's doing the social media for SpongeBob? I never see any.
Well, there are a lot of SpongeBob memes out there,
I guess. And,
well, all I can tell you is that there's a friend of mine that told me that he's decided that he's never watched The Simpsons. So he actually sat down and started streaming The Simpsons from the beginning.
Wow.
So you can have somebody like that, you know, some Amish kid that never saw SpongeBob when they were younger, and they got, you know, streaming and we're like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And just watch it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or there's somebody who basically left their Fire Stick running all night. I don't know.
That's one thing that I've noticed, like eventually Netflix, if you're watching Netflix, Netflix will stop after, you know, maybe three episodes or something. It'll say, are you still watching? But, CBS, it'll just keep playing and playing.
Oh, yeah. And then you run into the thing we talked about with Picard, is that it'll show you when it was coming out episode by episode, it'll show you Picard, and then it'll give you some other rando show.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, if you're gonna recommend something, at least recommend another Star Trek show.
Yeah, just completely clueless. Yeah, that's the thing, you know. Over this past week, Paramount Plus has come out, and, you know, I was expecting it to be different than CBS All Access. Of course, this is the Star Trek, podcast. So, you know, maybe it's not really appropriate to talk about here, but, oh, what the heck? It's the same. There's nothing different about it.
It's not exactly the same.
How is it different?
Because it's got the little scrolly thing at the top where you can choose channels.
I thought it had that before.
Not that I recall. Where you could switch between Nick and BET and the Smithsonian Channel.
Funny thing, I don't, there's so many things I don't understand about that, but it's probably not worth talking about on here. But the Paramount Network is not on Paramount Plus. I don't understand that. Why is that?
I don't know either, because there's actually some shows on Paramount I've been watching. So
yeah, and like I know one of their most popular shows, Yellowstone, that to stream that, you have to watch it on Peacock.
I think that goes to the vagaries of who actually produced it.
Yeah, well,
but
it but also has to do with I believe CBS or Viacom CBS actually sold the streaming rights to that show for the first three seasons to Peacock, and they're not putting all their eggs in the Paramount Plus basket, which to me they should. You know, they should take all their toys and go home and make people watch stuff on Paramount Plus service.
Well, and since you opened the door, I'm just going to stick my toe in very briefly and say, you know, I wanted to watch, I want to say that they had classic Battlestar Galactica on Peacock, maybe.
Yeah.
There was like one show I wanted to watch on Peacock, but I can't justify getting it.
Yeah.
And I had a Wild Hair a while back and wanted to watch old Doctor Who episodes, and they're on BritBox. And I said, I'm not going to get another streaming service just to watch a niche show.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, like you said, with Yellowstone, that's kind of how it's been parceled out, that some of these, there's other licensure agreements and other things that have gone on.
Yeah.
That now here, Paramount's not able to stream their own shows.
It's like, for example, The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead, those shows are available current season. But if you want to watch all of, you know, the past seasons of The Walking Dead, you have to get them on Netflix or buy them. If you want to watch all of Fear the Walking Dead, the first five seasons, you have to go to Hulu. They're not even on the same streaming service. You have to go to Hulu. But neither of those services offer AMC Plus. So at least I don't think Hulu does, or Hulu's, because Hulu has those other, services that connect to it, but I don't think that AMC Plus anyway is one of them. So as far as I know, anyway.
This strange way that the rights for streaming has manifested itself.
When AMC Plus, or I should say when AMC Premiere, when my subscription for AMC Plus, I'm going to leave all this in because we don't have enough content this week. When my subscription to AMC Premiere ends, I will get AMC Plus for you listeners and give you a review. But, until then, I'm going to stick with AMC Premiere. And I don't know. Like I said, the crazy thing that I ran into today, I just don't understand it. And maybe that is a limitation of my cable provider, but it's so stupid. I've downloaded the show. Why, when I've already downloaded the show, why is it necessary for you to
make me start over?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It wasn't just that. Maybe I don't know if I said this or not, but when I got home to play the episode, I hit resume, and guess what it did? It started over. So it didn't even remember where I left off.
Yeah. So that's the gripe for them. And we've already mentioned my gripe for Spectrum. Paramount.
Yeah. Yeah.
That when you pause something, it makes the screen very tiny.
Oh, yes. Yes. And with all of this, we now have to say,
what is this bizarre segue that's happening right now? Can we maybe stay on point?
This is a short show, so just, you know, let's go with this. So anyway, that's almost it as far as the news. Just a little bit about Talking Dead this week. On the Talking Dead, a couple things were mentioned. First of all, the guests were Melissa McBride, Lynn Collins, who played Leah, and Nicole Morante-Matthews, who I mentioned before, is a co-executive producer and writer of this week's episode. One thing I found out that was interesting, Lynn Collins used to be married to Stephen Strait from The Expanse. I didn't know that. So, and, you know, I guess she was in a couple of the Wolverine movies. So the, was it X-Men Origins Wolverine and Wolverine?
Yeah.
She was in those. The puppy's name, according to what they said on Talking Dead, strangely enough, is Carl. I thought that was funny.
Carl.
And it was also mentioned that due to COVID restrictions, Norman Reedus and Leah Collins could not kiss. So, you know, Lynn Collins thought that was interesting. But then the writer, and this was the interesting part about having her on, she was like, I don't think that they would have had her kiss. So that it was, and part of it was, I think they were worried about backlash, but also I think they were kind of, you know, wanting people to settle in on that, and that it might've been too soon for him. I don't know, but it's the whole thing. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
So do we blame it on the ongoing Inui, or do we blame it on Corona?
I think it's both, but who knows? All right. So that's it for our news segment. So LT, you did such a fine job and inside baseball without me. last week was such a train wreck for editing. But I had to leave the episode at one point. So LT recorded this without me. But anyway, not this week. If you could tell people how to contact us and leave feedback.
All right. We want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter at WalkingDeadTTM to submit your theories and feedback. Most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadTTM. You can email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. We also have the feedback forum. That's at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. If you can't do that, you can give us a call and leave a voicemail at 216-232-6146. All of our new episodes are on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media and remember to subscribe and click that bell to get notified when we have new videos. The videos go out there first before the podcast does. We're always thankful for the support of our listeners. You can like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. Now, the best way you can support us is through our Patreon. That's at www.patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. We'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCollum, Renee Murray, and me. And Lawrence Todd.
Yes.
You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, give us a rating or a review. You can also leave us a review at podchaser.com. There you can rate individual episodes or the whole podcast. Now remember, share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we get them out, and tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best way to get us, and word of mouth is the best way to get more folks listening to the podcast. Now remember, if you're going to throw a link to one of the podcasts, you need to do that through the Talk Through Media group on Facebook. The actual show group, I don't think you can link out of there.
And there, it's actually, yeah, it's a public group. So you can currently, but they're changing how groups are. So I would just say, go to the Facebook page and share from there. So And that's the Talk Through Media Facebook page, as LT mentioned, at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. Yeah. And Patreon helps to support us. It doesn't pay for all the cost of doing the podcasts and, you know, paying for the networking fees and the hosting fees and the software fees and the it's a lot, but it covers a lot of it. So we appreciate it. For other things, of course, you guys heard Ruthie back on the podcast last week, and we're on hiatus. We had recently finished coverage of Star Trek Discovery Season 3. You can find those episodes directly if you go to StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. And the Facebook group for that is facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMPodcasts. And we also have a Patreon for the Star Trek podcast, and that's at patreon.com/Brian and Ruth. So our next episode will be for season 10, episode 19, titled One More. I looked it up. According to Wikipedia, it is written by Eric Mountain and Jim Barnes, two co-executive producers, and directed by Laura Belsey. And I don't have a description, so until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm LT.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.